Punjabi, Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paribraja Acharya Ashtakamani Shri Shri Madhu Devangas Uboi Charanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Vedanta Prabhupada Jayam Vishnu Pad Paribraja Acharya Ashtakamani Shri Shri Madhu Devangas Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Iskandi Viti Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai To the whole Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shvashari Gaura Bhakti Ki Jai Shri Radha Gopa Gopinath Namakam Radhakam Girigovardhana Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Maya Purnabhati Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jumana Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tosi Devi Ki Jai Shamaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nithai Gopramanandi All glories to the Assembly All glories to the Assembly All glories to the Assembly Shri Guru Abhu Mao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutave Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pushani Nene Visayati A few days ago, a lecture was sent to me by Srila Prabhupada. I was very inspired by it, and I thought we could read parts of it and discuss it. It's about how a devotee deals with reverses. I would say it's insightful, but I would say maybe more than insightful or equally insightful is the sweetness of this. Prabhupada explains this to me. So Krishna, he is so nice. Yes, he is the all-attractive. He hypnotizes his devotee. Hypnotism is that even though it's a bodhisattva, it doesn't interfere with the relationship, they accept it. Just like the Pandavas. The Pandavas, they were Krishna's friend. Arjuna was friend. All brothers. Arjuna was very intimate to him. Four brothers. They were also Krishna's friend. And Kunti, Pandava's mother, she happened to be the aunt of Krishna. So they were all well established in relation with Krishna, but as a result, they were banished for 12 years. They lost the game, so they were banished. And their wife Draupadi was insulted. They could not insult her, but they tried to insult her. And they lost their kingdom, and they were banished for 12 years. So Narada Muni met Krishna. And he started speaking to Krishna with a little criticism. My dear sir, I don't know if it's actually the proper name, my dear sir. It's my dear lord. Maybe in British, lord, sir, lady. We were young devotees. In England, Subhadra was known as Lady Subhadra. Lord Jagannath was known as Lord Jagannath, so that's the British lords and ladies. We didn't really get imported to America. Lady Subhadra. Lord Jagannath. My dear sir, Krishna, by becoming your devotee, the Pandavas are very happy. They have lost their kingdom. Their wife is insulted, and now they are banished for 12 years. So, it is a very good thing. Prabhupada's laughing. Narada Muni's like saying to Krishna, basically, they're your friends and you allowed this to happen. How can this be right? Narada Muni goes, But the wonderful thing I see, in spite of all these inconveniences, they have increased their love for you. What's wrong? Most people in a situation like that might find it difficult to come closer to God. Afraid of his love. So Narada Muni, he is astonished. What kind of hypnotism do you do? I do not know. In spite of being placed in so much inconvenience, their love for you has increased. That is the position of the pandavas. This is Krishna consciousness. Here is the translation of that verse. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reaction of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his right. Not only does he not complain, not complaining is good, but you take it to the Lord. The devotee, pure devotee, if they are put into difficulty, they take it, quote, oh, it is Krishna's grace. It is Krishna's grace. A lot of us, after the event, we see how it unfolds after suffering through it, then we might say, you know, a month later, it was Krishna's mercy, because we see the result. It's a little less common, especially in the beginning, to see everything as Krishna's mercy. Well, we may try to see it. Prabhupada saying pure devotee doesn't see it that way. Because pure devotee only sees everything is Krishna's. Everything that Krishna does is his love. Sometimes we may do something stupid, and then we get mad at Krishna. You ever done that? Cut your finger or burn your finger. Krishna, why did you let me do it? And if you were asking Krishna, he would just say, because you weren't paying attention. So it's not that we would take that, or this is Krishna's arrangement for suffering. We have to take it as our stupidity. One time, some devotees were coming to Bhatiyatra. From, I believe, Arizona, very early, 70 or 71, and their car broke down. They came late. They may have even missed it. Why were you late? And they said, oh, it's Maya, our car broke down. Prabhupada said, why? Are you blaming Maya for your negligence? Why are you blaming Maya for your negligence? So, what Prabhupada's saying here can't be taken globally, like whatever happens, suffering, oh, it must be Krishna loves me. No, you may have been negligent. You may have done something wrong, and you're getting reactions. And of course, devotees will learn from that. Oh, I learned from this. It's Krishna's mercy, because I learned from it, but we shouldn't say Krishna did it. Or Krishna made me, you know, not service the car, so I learned a lesson from the car. You could think, well, it was good, now I learned a lesson, but not that directly Krishna inspired me from within to do something. Although it could happen. Generally, we wouldn't say the devotee, pure devotee, if they are put into difficulty, they take it. Oh, it is Krishna's grace. It is Krishna's grace. Tatenu pam pam susha miksha mano munjana evatna kritam vipakam. They take it in this way. Krishna, I was to suffer 100 times more than this due to my bad activities in my past life. But you are giving me a little out of it. So it is your grace. So a devotee never takes in any. taking. Generally, I've seen interesting. Once a devotee parked his car in front of the temple and a year ago, and near the beach, just in those days, there were rowdy teenagers in the beach. And it's changed a little bit. Real estate got higher and moved to some other place. So, they broke the window of the devotee's car. And I guess in those days you would steal the stereo. So he came into the temple, he was really upset, and he was chanting a mantra. I don't know if you've ever chanted this mantra. It goes like this. Why me? Why me? I didn't deserve it. He chanted that mantra. Why me? I didn't deserve it. And the funny thing about that mantra is, I think he was saying, why couldn't they have done it to another car? Why my car? So that kind of goes as the second line of that mantra, why me? Why not something else? So I always remember that when I think of this verse, because this is interesting. Krishna, why me? I don't deserve it. And the period of what he thinks, Krishna, I deserve worse. You're very kind. It's actually inconceivable from the ordinary perspective that we need to do this. Even for us, it's not necessary. I was in Los Angeles for a moment speaking on this verse. And heard this. He said, just like your throat was meant to be cut, but now you're a devotee, you get a little scratch. You get a little scratch, you're upset, it hurts a little bit, but you're supposed to think, actually, maybe my hip is meant to be cut. Partially. Something, as Prabhupada said, 100 times more serious. The devotee thinks, thank you, Krishna. And then the other thing, how a devotee thinks, and of course you can't imitate. But the devotee thinks, I deserve it. Not only do I deserve it, I deserve Krishna. I deserve it. Not like, why me? What did I do to deserve this? Let's go look at the record from your last 1 million lives. We'll find plenty of things you did to deserve. That's how it is. And if you even want to take it to another level, it's not even karmic reaction for sin. It's just my heart is coming. I deserve it. You're not being me. Mahaprabhu once said that I should have killed myself long ago, but I'm shameless and I didn't. He said, why should I kill myself? Because I'm living in this world and I don't have friends. Taking the part of ordinary person. I don't have love and I'm maintaining my body. So on that level, a devotee thinks, I don't have love and I'm still eating and resting and living. That's what Krishna says. Of course, we don't recommend killing himself. But Mahaprabhu was having that sense that this is not right. I'm maintaining my body and I have no love. I don't even deserve to live. Of course, we're living to become purified. But there's that sentiment. So sometimes you see a devotee will say, I'm sinful, and we're reading this, and we're saying, no, you're not. You're not doing anything sinful. But the devotee's thinking, oh yeah, 1 second, I could help Krishna. So, a little different for the pure devotee when they're saying, I deserve this. Because I'm not a pure devotee. Not that we can imitate, but we have to understand it. Because we're trying to go in that direction. We're maybe not on the freeway, maybe taking a non-stop flight, but at least we have to know. That's how it works. I could say from my own experience, I always would think, when something's happening and I don't understand Krishna, why, I always have this little drama going on. Where I go back to God and I say, Krishna, remember that time this happened and then that happened and one thing after another and this and that. Why? All I'm trying to do is serve you. Krishna says, you know why? You really want to know why? And he says, if that didn't happen to you, you wouldn't be right here talking to me about it. You have some beach in Jamaica. Well, but because that happened, that's why you're here. So that is my personal realization. And I always think, if whatever I'm going through, if I'm going to ask Krishna why, he's going to say, you need it. The other thing I've learned from studying this is that Krishna's not vengeful, although if you study Krishna Lila and you study how Yoga Maya arranges the Lila, it becomes very clear that everything is simply arranged for Krishna to reciprocate judgment. That's all. Yoga Maya is the expert for this. She knows how to do everything only for that purpose, to increase rasa. Because Krishna is addicted to love, and he's addicted to serving his devotees, addicted to loving. So then, something bad happens to the devotee. Wait a minute, if Krishna loves to serve, he loves to love, why is this happening? There's a purport explanation by Ananya Siddhanta. I've given you up. And he says, Krishna loves to serve his devotees. Okay, Krishna. You love to serve your devotees. Where's the mansion? Where's the Mercedes? I'm waiting. It's on my list. But then Krishna says, well, I'm not as stupid as you are to give you everything you want. So then it doesn't look like, but Krishna, I thought you loved me. Yeah, I'm not giving it to you because I love you. If I didn't love you, I would give it to you. So we have to understand that everything that Krishna's doing is because he loves us, even if it doesn't look like he's doing something because he loves us. Then Prabhupada said something very heavy. You can take it however you want to take it. Prabhupada said it. Prabhupada said, a pure devotee, again, we can't imitate it. Prabhupada said, a pure devotee will never ask Krishna for anything. He'll ask for a pure bhakti, but never anything pure. And then Prabhupada said something amazing, and I've only heard him say it once. He said, even if he's starving, he won't ask Krishna for food. I heard that, and I fell off my seat. Inconceivable. I don't want to ask Krishna for anything. Even I'm starving, I don't want to ask Krishna. And Krishna, all he wants to do is take care of you. And because you know that, that's another reason you don't want to ask. Because you know that Krishna wants to do that. And if Krishna's not giving, there's no giving. That's not the reason. Not because he doesn't like me or necessarily that I'm sinful, although I can see that. But this angle of vision is always, well, this is Krishna loves me, so whatever happens. It's not something foolish that I've done. It's a manifestation of his love. And then when you're going through it that way, you just think, okay, lessons. There's so many lessons that Krishna wants me to learn. Austerity, the wealth of the Brahmins. Maybe I wasn't doing enough austerity. Krishna said, okay, you're going to do austerity for the next week. And he creates situations. Austerity, Prabhupada said, the word tapasya, tapamiti, but Prabhupada said tapasya many times. He said suffering, bodily pain, for spiritual pain. So one time, which is like a few months ago, you know, I haven't been in the Lazarus, I haven't actually been in one place that long, in a few months, in like 20 years. So because of COVID, I've been in the United States. And after like, I was here like 6 months, I was thinking, you know, traveling is really difficult. It's austere. And that's how I get my austerity points. Just, you know, get on a plane in itself and it's good. It's good. Jet lag and this and that. You know, ending up in a different country, different language, different weather, you know, a week later, different weather, different language. It's hard on the body and the mind. And I was thinking, after being here for so long, I was thinking, like too easy. Like, no austerity. Austerity is like, instead of going to the airport and flying here and this and that, I just walk from my house to my office. This is too easy. And like, like the next day I get a call from Nigeria. Can you give a class? And I go, okay. And they say, this is the time for a class, which is 3 a.m. my time. I'm like, really? I go, yeah. Well, I was praying for some austerity. Okay, so we'll get up at 2:30, and then we'll get ready and we'll give a class. And that's not quite enough. Yes, yeah. Yeah, Bob is in class. So sometimes Krishna may say, life's too easy. You need a little tapasya. So I always, my thought was always, let me do the tapasya first, because I have control of that. Krishna wants to put his tapasya, I don't know what he's going to do. So like, you know, I'll do enough and say, Krishna, I did enough, is that okay? You don't have to like, and that seems to work. And you get to choose your tapasya, but with Krishna puts your tapasya in the middle. This one will be so we'll put you in the Krishna, I was to suffer, this is how it's Krishna, I was to suffer 100 times more than this due to my bad activities in my past life. But you are giving me a little out of this, just a little reaction. Therefore, Narayana Parasarena Kupasarana. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, Narayana, never fear any conditions of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Heavenly planets, earthly planets, hellish planet. It's all the same. Sama. If he is put in the severest type of difficulty, he's never upset. Just see the pundits. That is the effect of Krishna consciousness. I have a few other things I want to read, then I want to open it up. And I would really appreciate if any of you have stories of some suffering. And these kinds of stories, they build faith. I just want to make an announcement. For a very long time, I have thought we need a book called Stories of Faith, because there's so many stories in the lives of devotees we don't know about that would increase our faith. Because faith is fundamental to bhakti, a gradual development of faith. And if we could hear all the stories, Krishna would become more real in our lives. And my dear godbrother, Vishwanath, we did a lot of service together. And a lot of times you'd have these miraculous things happen. Or a lot of times you would totally do everything wrong, but it would work out right because Krishna would just take it back. Do everything wrong, and at the last moment Krishna would catch you falling and puts it all together. So as young devotees, that was kind of like a normal day. And Maharaj used to call it the Krishna factor. That's the Krishna, you know, it was, you know, this was not supposed to happen, but due to the Krishna factor, you know, the security guard fell asleep, the door opened, and we went into the football game and sold 100 Krishna. It was exactly like the Krishna, you know, like Yogamaya put the guards asleep, you know, something like that. So this is the temporary working title, this, the Krishna factor, Stories of Faith and Bhakti. And maybe this is a... I just think this would be an amazing book. So if any of you have stories of faith, stories that you think would be so amazing that they would, or maybe not so amazing, but they would build the faith of other devotees, let me know. Because we're compiling these stories. I think there's going to be many volumes. I think there's so many stories. And my intuition tells me that this is an incredibly faithful book. So I just want to read a few things and then you'd like to share any of your stories about Krishna, the Krishna factor is what you feel about it. And I'll share one of my stories. This is a beautiful letter, really, really beautiful letter, written in 1972. Sometimes Krishna may put us into some difficulty just to purify us and force us to advance to Krishna consciousness. The devotee should always see his difficulty in this light, that Krishna is so kind upon me for creating this condition of struggling. Thus he is relieving me of so many billions of lifetimes of sinful reactions by this very insignificant and temporary condition of suffering. I think Prabhupada was the world expert at taking a mountain and creating a molehill out of it. We were expert at taking a molehill and making a mountain. And the sadhu was expert at taking a molehill and taking a mountain. So many times we would be in situations which we felt extremely difficult to deal with. And Prabhupada would say something, and kind of like dismiss it. What's your problem? That's nothing. And one time Prabhupada said, with one kick, I could kick out all your money. No problem. Prabhupada, I'm in Maya. It's so difficult. I can't follow. One kick, I can kick it. So sometimes Prabhupada would have these one-liners that would just like kick out all the mind. It's like, oh, everything's fine now. So I think this is one of these. You're suffering, and the one-liner, oh, what's actually happening is billions of lifetimes of sins are being purified. That's how little suffering is happening. And then another nice meditation. Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, when we go back to Godhead, will we remember this? No. At most, it's kind of like, you ever kind of reading and you're not out and you wake up, kind of like, what happened? At most, it's going to be like, you're with Krishna and like you're out 1 month ago. What happened? It's like, you never left. I was reading the other day that Uddhava, he was in Dwarka, and then he went back to Dwarka. He go look. And it was like, he never left. So this whole, it's nice to think that all our problems in the material world, when you go back to God, it was like, what happened? It was like, something. Was like, oh, whatever. It's like, it's nothing. So, I could read more, but I would like to stop here. This is about Chintakinti. This is such a beautiful story. A devotee, he accepts any condition of life as a blessing from the Lord. Since Chintakinti was a devotee of the Lord, he was not at all disturbed by the curse of other parties. He knew very well that one suffers or enjoys the results of one's past misdeeds as ordained by Daivanatra, superior authority, or the agents of the Supreme Personality of God. In other words, Mother Parvati curses him, you're going to become a demon, if you serve like that. And he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or the goddess Parvati. Yet he had been punished. And this means that the punishment had been ordained. You're trying to serve Krishna, you're just doing devotional service, something happens, some difficulty. You can think like Chintakinti. It must be Krishna's difficulty. I'm following as best I can. I'm not committed. day saw him, he must have been shot. Thus the king did not mind it. A devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life as a blessing from the Lord. This verse is sent to the national anthem of the devotee's life. So, with your permission, I'd like to go much further. We'll go along. We'll be granted extra time. It depends. It's a good question. So, in 1970, in November of 1970, I was asked to become the president of Vancouver, Canada. And I really don't like managing that much. And I was only 20, and I hadn't been a devotee as much. So it was a bit of a challenge. And the devotees there were, I will just say, they were heavyweights. They were hard. I won't mention their names. They were very difficult. Which is quite an understatement. Just so you get the scenario. So, and I'm from Southern California. That was the first time in my life I saw snow. That was like to see it, and I couldn't understand why anyone would live in a climate that was as cold as the walking condition. That was actually how it felt. So, we had no money. We didn't know how we were going to pay the rent. We didn't know. Have warm clothes. And the difficulties just mounted. I didn't ask to be there. I didn't want to be there. And my only hope was that when I went to apply for my green card, I wouldn't get it. If I didn't get it, then I would have honorably returned to the temple I came from in San Francisco, which was an amazing temple, and I loved it. Fired up. If ever a temple was fired up, that was fine. So I was always thinking, just a matter of time, I'll go back because all the people, all the American students, the young Americans were going to Canada to escape the draft. At that time, it was a draft. You didn't join the army. You got a letter that said, dear John, show up at this place at this time to get your ladies in. Get your checkup for entering the army, which meant you're going to Vietnam to either be killed or kill somebody. So a lot of these young men, they went to Canada because somehow or other, if you're in Canada, you won't be drafted. So I went to the lawyer and said, I have to apply for a green card. My GPC wants me to do this. They want me to stay here. And the lawyer said, you're never going to get it because of all the people coming up. I said, that was the best thing I've heard all day. I was so happy. But I thought, you know, I have to go through the process because it's my duty. Because I am the temple president, it's my duty at least to go through the process. So I did everything, filled out all the paperwork, got recommendations, this and that. And the way it worked in those days, it's different than now, the way it worked in those days is you drive about a half hour from Vancouver, you drive to the border, go into Washington State, you turn around, you just drive up, there's a drive-through I never got out of my car. So I drive up and I was thinking, this is the day, this is going to be the happiest day in like the last year. I give him all the paperwork. He starts speaking to me in French, and I say a few words in French because I studied French. Actually, I had no idea what he was saying. Said, you know, this was laughing, speaking in French. So he went back, and from my memory, he went into his office for 3 minutes and came back, and I was, yes. He looked at the papers and said, loser, there's no need to even take time. So he comes back, gives me the paper, smiles, and he gives me the green card. And at that moment, I felt like Krishna was sitting in the car, laughing his head off us. And the realization I had was, well, Krishna, I guess you want me to be here, don't you? And from that point on, I was completely with Krishna. Because I knew at that point, this was Krishna. So that's my my story. Is any, I had another story, other stories, but I don't want to. Would like to open this up to the floor. If any of you have stories of, this course was not a story of someone suffering, but if you have stories either of faith or lessons you learned, we would love to hear it. Either than, Bobo, I got married and that was total hell and I learned so much. Some other story other than that. Yes, you have a story.
In 2019, I went to India, and I was going to be there for 10 days, and I was doing Kartik, and so there were a lot of festivals, and there were a lot of devotees there that I was meeting, and so forth. And on day 3, I lost my passport. And so immediately, my entire trip, it was only 10 days, but pretty much from the start, I was like crying, and I was like, oh God, I'm going to be stuck in India forever. I don't know how to get out. And so, fortunately, the devotees that I was with, they were with me the entire time we went. We were in Vrindavan. And so I left this magical place where everything is perfect and amazing. And I took these devotees who had come from other countries away from their spiritual masters. They were there to see in Vrindavan. And they went with me to Delhi, to the embassy, and I went through all this trouble. And I was just crying the whole time. I was like, I'm ruining everything. And I got to the embassy. I got my passport, paid a lot of money for the extra. And it was supposed to be a long process to get the visa back because it was an emergency. And as soon as I come out of the embassy, I have like 20 missed calls, and the devotees are calling me back, and they're like, we found your passport. We found it. And it was under the person that I was with in their ashram. And I was like, ah, okay. So I ran back into the embassy. I sprinted, cut the line, cut all these people off, and I was like, I ran back in, and I was like, stop, stop, stop. Like, don't put anything, don't do anything. And they're like, well, we already did it, so you have to take it. But the good thing is that since you have your old passport, you don't have to worry about the visa, which was really the hard part. And I was like, perfect. I don't even care. Like, take all my money and whatever you want. Just perfect. Whatever. Let me get back to Vietnam. And so I went back, and everything was good, and I was having a good time again, and all these festivals, it was amazing. And then my last day, I got to celebrate the Garden Puja there. And then that was my last day. So that night, I left to go to the airport. My flight was really late, so I got to the airport. And then they didn't let me leave. And so I'm at the airport, and the devotees who dropped me off, they couldn't go inside the airport. So I'm like yelling at these like very old, kind of scary government Indian men. And I'm like, let me in. Like, they told me it was okay. And they don't. They don't let me in. And I was there for 3 extra hours, even though my plane, like, came, it went, whatever. So I was crying. And I called the person that I was with, Vishnupriya, and I was like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And I'm really, really crying. And she was like, come back to Vrindavan. And so I was like, okay. And I got back, and I called my boss at work, because that was really the thing. I was worried, like, I lost my passport, so I was really stressed out about that. And then I got it, okay, it's fine, now I'm stuck in India, because they literally won't let me leave, because I'm really worried about that. I have to get back to my job, my dog, and all these things. And I called my boss, and they ended up saying, like, no problem. Like, it's an emergency situation. Take as long as you need. Like, it doesn't matter. Just get home safe. And so that's not a problem. And then my mom ended up going to Austin to take care of my dog. And so that's not a problem. And because I got to go back to Vrindavan, the very next day was Prabhupada's disappearance day.
Wow.
So it was a really, really special day. And so because I lost my passport, like, and it felt so... like, so much suffering, so many good things came out of it. At the very end, it was very good.
What do you want? Definitely Prabhupada's arrangement. He was trying to get you to lose it twice. That's for another book called Welcome to India. I have, I think every devotee has about 108 Welcome to India stories. My favorite Welcome to India story is you get in the taxi cab and they say, meter not working. And I pull out a screwdriver and say, I fix meters. And they look at me like, very welcome to India.
Well, I don't have a story, but I have something that really touched my heart. And it was from 2 devotees. I'm sure there's many, many devotees around the world But these two particular ladies told me, I asked them, I said, you know, you've been through really extreme difficulties on so many years from childhood onward, and yet you've just been diligent with every aspect of your spiritual life. You know, can you talk about that a little? And both these devotees told me that they're so absolutely 100% grateful for every single thing that happened to them. The reason being that it's what made them who they are today. Kind of like putting iron in a fire. So I always feel very inspired by that and hope that maybe one lifetime I might get to that where I can say that I'm glad that everything happened to me because I am who I am today.
That's a good meditation when it's happening. It's what I need right now to be who I need to be. Krishna wants me. You want to hear something interesting? One of my godbrothers, he gave people cards. People knew that he bought them. He gave them 5 cards and he said, write down 5 difficulties you've been through and the lessons you learned from each other. Put those cards in front of you. So everyone had written 5 cards in front of them. After they did that, he said, now if you could relive your life and not have to go through those horrific experiences, which one would you not go through? Just pick up the card. Not one person picked up any card. And he said, why? He said, because I am who exactly what he said. I would not be who I am today had I not gone through that. Of course, when you look back, you think, hope I never have to go through that again. Could I get the lesson about the suffering?
If you were sitting at a table, a round table, let's say, and everyone put on cards and put them in the center of the table with all their problems, and you saw everybody, what would you do? Would you take your own problems or take theirs? And pretty much everybody took their own problems.
Who else would like to share? Something you didn't learn that you should have learned? Some story of training. I know you all have stories. But you wouldn't be here if you didn't have stories.
When I first started coming around Krishna consciousness, it was relatively recently, and it was when I was graduating college, and it was in the middle of the year, or I guess it was December, and I needed to get out of the sublease, and I didn't think I would, so I just didn't try, and I had kind of just been following signs and intuition, and just very blindly ended up at Krishna House, so I didn't know if I was going to move in or not. I had no idea what I was signing up for. I went on the trip to Georgia with them, and these people are amazing. And then I went home, and I heard all from, you know, my family how crazy, and I'm moving home, and it's time to come home and get a job and all these things. And so they encouraged me to put my place up to sublease, which of course I was going to do, but I didn't think I was going to find anyone, so I was, maybe I'll stay in Gainesville and just bum it out or something and avoid family responsibilities, these things. And within a week, I found a subleaser, just having focused my desire on writing through into Krishna House, which is so much of Krishna's mercy, because in the middle of a pandemic, in a matter of a week, in the middle of a semester, or in the middle of the school year, finding a subleaser was incredible. And then I had also, I had just gotten a kitten a couple months before, on a whim. And, so I had this responsibility, and I can't bring in a pet with me to Krishna House. I didn't really have an attachment to her, but it was my responsibility to take care of her. And a few months back, she had a lot of medical issues, so I had to drive to Jacksonville and got her treated, and this was before I was a devotee or aspiring devotee. after I started coming around the house, when I went home for Christmas break, she had smelled a Christmas lily. It was Christmas, and those are highly contagious, like highly deathly for kittens and cats. Just smelling them, they died. And so she had immediate liver failure. But I was also able to hold her and chant her name, like chant the holy name for her. Nice. So it was her karma, I guess, her sweet karma, to have a short life of the cat. And it was also really sweet because that was a way that my family was kind of pushing me to not join the movement and not become a devotee and not move into the house. This is their way of controlling me. You're a horrible person for giving up your responsibility to take care of this cat. We won't take care of this cat for you. So it was so freeing on top of a bunch of other little things that Krishna helped me get to where I am.
I think the same person who made you lose your passport is the same person who got your house, your apartment sublet, right? What do you think? You know, there's so many stories when people are ready to become Krishna conscious, so everything just, it all happens. You're just watching it. Like, whoa, okay. I guess I'm supposed to do this. So, very common story. Thank you.
On the gutter on Burton Street, I remember the Prabhupada said, he said, when is there so important to see Krishna? And so I started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And immediately, like a bolt out of the blue, there was a convention of surgery here at the city. There were doctors everywhere. It was like a universal form of doctors. And everything turned out to be good except the voice of the shopping. So that's true story.
Just happened to be. Prabhupada ki jai, Radhe Shyam ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sri Gauri Mahadevi ki jai, Nikai Gaur Karmana.